It's great to have been raised up in a good fundamental church, an independent King James church, and I appreciate it so very much. Now, I'd like to dedicate the message tonight to Brother Ennis. You say, is it appropriate to dedicate a message to a pastor? Yes, I think that what I'll be preaching on, he has done. He's fulfilled a good ministry here. 48 years. I've been in Durham 48 years too. And we've got some new families coming. I've raised about three generations of them. And it's just a blessing. And this is a great church. The best singing of any church that I've been in. Y'all have a wonderful choir. The congregation sing so beautifully. Y'all sing with joy. And it's just a blessing to come to Fellowship Baptist Church. Now, I'd like for you to turn over to Nehemiah chapter 8. And I'm going to read it quickly down through here. And let Ezra, he's the preacher. Now, the word Ezra means helper. That's the ministry of a pastor, is to help you to have the sense of meaning, the understanding of the Word of God. And this is the only time that the word pulpit is found in the Bible, and it's the right kind. Now, there's all kinds of pulpits today. The Catholics have got a pulpit. The Protestants got a pulpit. They put theirs over to the side because the sacrifice of the Mass is their central message. But the Baptist churches have always made the preaching part the central emphasis in the church. And I appreciate good Baptist churches. You say, well, what kind of pulpit did Ezra have? He had a pulpit of truth. Now, there's not but one pulpit of truth. Let me say that again. There's not but one pulpit of truth in our nation. But I am convinced that Bible-believing Baptists have the right pulpit. We've got the right doctrine, haven't we? The right pulpit. And I was amazed when I looked up the names of these 13 men that stood on the platform with Ezra. His name means helper. He's helping the people of God to return to the Scriptures and giving them the commandments of the Lord. He's got 13 assistant preachers. And each of these preachers, their names, when it's translated, will give you the type of ministry that they had. And let me show you, for example. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a what? Pulpit of wood. Only time in the Bible, but this is the representation of the true pulpit. All others are excluded, which they had made for the purpose. In fact, the word pulpit has a meaning that that's where the true Word of God. Pulpit is where the true Word of God, for the purpose of a pulpit to give out the truths of God. Only one pulpit, and that's the pulpit of truth. And so they had the pattern set down here in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul and the other apostles, they set down the example of the right kind of pulpit too. And so let's read on now. Look at verse number 4. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Uriah and Hilkiah and Maesa on his right hand. And on his left hand, Padiah and Mishael and Malachiah and Hashem and Hasabanah, Zechariah and Mishum. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, amen. Now, don't ever belittle that word or use it lightly. That word amen means I agree to the covenant. I believe I'm loyal to the truth of the covenant. And they're saying, we believe the covenant that God gave to Moses. Amen, amen. I agree to the covenant. Let it be done and let it practice in my life. That little word amen means a whole lot, doesn't it? When you say amen in church, you agree into the covenant to put it into practice. It's very important. All right, let's read on now. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Jeshua, or a derivative of Joshua, and Bani, and Shebaniah, and Jamin, and Akub, and Shabbathiah, that means the Sabbath, Holiam, Measa, Kalita, Azariah, Josebed, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. Now, I'm not going to try to read those again, but I'm going to put down 13 preachers that stood by Ezra in verse 4, and then the Levites were the teachers. The preaching ministry and the teaching ministry is represented by these 13 men on the platform and the 13 teachers out there. All of it put together is the true teaching of God. And I'm going to give you the names and the meanings of these men. And I was just absolutely amazed at the meaning of these Bible names. See, every name in the Bible, person, place, or thing, has a message to it. It conveys a truth. And so it's very important to see that. And so it says that Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, amen. And then he had the teachers down here in verse number 7, and then verse number 8. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly, made it clear, and gave the sense, the meaning, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. They were under conviction of it. It broke their hearts. And so God granted them repentance when they heard, the law read. Verse 10, Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. They had a revival, and then they decided they're going to start practicing the word of God. You say, well, what did the first 13 men represent? I'm just going to name them. And as I studied and looked up the meaning in the concordance and the proper names and other sources, the meaning of these Bible names, I was shocked to find out at the uniformity of a revealed doctrine. The first name that is mentioned is the grace of God, Matthias. He's mentioned here, and that means the gift of God's grace. It starts with grace, doesn't it? And then the next man, we get saved to, his name means the glory of God. God saved us to glorify Him, not ourselves, or make a name for ourselves, but He saved us to glorify Him. And then that third name, Ananias, means the atonement, the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that means atonement, reconciliation. And then the light of God, Uriah. And then the supply of God, Hilkiah. All of these things just fall into the Christian life in order. And see, the supply of God, represented by Hilkiah. And then two times the word work, the worker of God is Messiah, and we're to work for God. You know, I've been amazed at this generation. Just a form of rebuke now. I said, Lord, help me to skin them alive, but do it like a gentleman. I'm amazed that so many people have made professions, and that's about all they have is a profession of faith. These 13 men tells you the chronology, how we to learn and grow in grace and develop a spiritual life. And if you're not doing that, we need to get right with God. It stirred them up, and they repented. And so keep this in mind. Uriah means the light of God. Let your light so shine among men. We need to have a testimony. And then Hilkiah means the supply of God. God will supply all of your physical and monetary needs and spiritual needs. And then the worker of God. My, God wants to use us in His work. No church should have to hire landscaping. No church should have to hire painters. We need some workers, don't we, to do the physical work in the church. Amen. And then we need some workers that does the spiritual work of the church. And so that's what that represents. So few people just want to come to church and mark a little time, but never do anything for God's house and God's work, both the spiritual ministry as well as the, you know, the physical or temporal ministry of the Lord. Are you with me so far? The Lord saved us to be something and to do something for Him. Let me say that again. The Lord saved us to be something for Him and to do something for Him. Now, He may have saved you and given you salvation, but what are you doing for Him? These names represent the different ministries that you're supposed to be involved in. Are you with me so far? This is the Old Testament, New Testament church. They were gathering together as one man at the water gate. That's the Word of God gate. They were there to work for the Lord and do these other ministries. And then another one's name, Uriah, which means atonement. Ananias, the glory of God. Shema, and the light of God. Uriah, all of these names, the supply of God. God will supply our needs. All of these names tells us how we ought to grow in grace and in service and dedication and be involved in the work of the Lord after you get saved. How many are working for Him? How many are putting some extra time in? And I'm sure the preacher could find some physical work for you to do. I'm sure that He could find some spiritual work for you to do as you go out and try to reach people. Plenty of work to do, isn't it, preacher? And the message tonight is a mild rebuke. And it broke those people's hearts because they had not been doing this. They had the grace of God, but they didn't have the service of God. Then the next name, wonderful name, Messiah, which means the worker of God. There it is again. And then the Redeemer of God, how that the Lord bought us out and brought us out. And people ought to see a change in our life. And then Mishael means prayer. How many of us have the ministry of prayer at home? I mean, during the day, you have a prayer time. I mean, you pray and you get in the kitchen or get into a study somewhere or the den and just begin to pray. How many would agree if we do all these things after we get saved, we'll have a better church, wouldn't we? We'd have more power on us. The original Independent Baptist did a lot of praying, a lot of work for the Lord, and they practiced it. But we've gotten away from it. Have you gotten away from it? Ask God to help you, to forgive you, and get back and reconcile and start working for Him. And then another man's name is called the King of God, Malachi. Jesus is prophesied as a coming king. He was a dispensational preacher. And then Hashem, he preached about the riches of God. And we just could go on and on. Then 11, here's something that you don't hear much preaching today, is Hasabana means the judgment of God. How many preachers today just skin sin? I mean, really lay it open wide. We've never seen as much immorality and perversion and wickedness and affairs and all of this courting, all of this breakdown of, you know, living a godly and a separated life. Oh, the judgment of God. These 13 preachers shared in Ezra's ministry. He's the helper. And he would call on these men from time to time to preach the whole counsel of God. You mark it down. They covered every subject that they needed to put out in the pulpit. They kept it hot. Amen. Preaching against sin, warning people about judgment. Christian, if we live wrong, you can mark it down. There'll be judgment coming your way. Whom the Lord loves, He'll chasten. God will judge His people for being out of fellowship, breaking down your standards of separation and dedication to God. The Lord knows, so let's get right with God. And I know your pastor has preached all of these things all of these years. He's preached all of these ministries. And then the last one, or the last two, is the Remembrances of God by Zechariah, the coming of the Lord, the second coming truths. I know Brother Ennis does that, the remembrances of God's predictions and promises as represented by Zechariah the prophet. And then the last preacher, his name means the friend of God. There's no better friend that you can walk with day by day than to walk with the Lord, live close to Him. 13 preachers, and I know this good man has preached all of those aspects of preaching. I know that. Would you agree that Brother Ennis has preached it to you? He sure has. And may God bless you and keep backing him up in it. Now, what about the teaching? I mentioned 13 teachers here. Joshua, that means the Savior. In the Sunday school classes, the Vacation Bible School, the Christian youth camps, all of the educational ministries of the church, we still put Jesus first. We preach and teach about Him, the Savior. So the teaching ministry complements the preaching ministry. 13 teaching ministries here. The second one is holy living, Aqab. Means separation and dedication. Don't tell me to live separated. Don't tell me to live godly. Don't tell me to live like Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us to live. Present our bodies a living. Don't tell me to come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord. My, my. Keep on preaching. Separation, consecration, dedication. It'll give you a good quality of church. I think my biggest battle in recent years has been over. People have lost their standards of Christian separation and dedication. They just about do anything now. Play cards, go to the show, wicked, worldly. You just look at the breakdown of separation. And then another one's the work of God, the physical work, the spiritual work. And then here's something that really shocks us. I want all of you to hold on to the back of your seat now. One of them's name was Shabbat. That means Sabbath. He got up and taught the people, honor the Sabbath. Honor God's holy day. Sunday's not a play day, a holiday, a good time day. Sunday's a holy day. Everything's wide open now, isn't it? You think about it. As a boy, all the stores up on what we call in the textile village, the front. And the only thing that opened up would be the drugstore for a little while for people to go get their medicine. And this respect for God's holy day is completely gone now. The races, the entertainment, the sports. Everybody is crazy over all of this violating God's holy day. The principles of the Sabbath apply to the principles of God's first day of the week, which is a holy day too. It's for praying and praising and preaching, isn't it? That's what Sunday's for. How many were raised to respect Sunday back when you was growing up? You sure were you not? And we had a better caliber of people. And then some of the others, the Holy Spirit of God is the meaning of one of these men's name. How about it? Have you submitted yourself to the full control of the Spirit of God in your life? He dwells within, but does he live through you? I mean, do you let him be the controller in your life? That's very little mentioned today, that we're supposed to let the Spirit of God control our life. And then we go on to the praises of God. I enjoy the good singing, the good hymns. What a blessing. Then the praises of God is mentioned. The work of God's church is mentioned by these men. The humility of God is mentioned. Most people today are very offended if they don't get attention and recognition for doing things in church. We do it for the Lord, people. We do it for the Lord, don't we? And the preacher sometimes have to kind of walk a tightrope that maybe they're not praising some people that are glory hounds. Unless they are mentioned in praise from the pulpit, they don't like it. They want to be recognized. But we do it for Jesus, don't we? My, my. The strength of God, the comfort of God is one of these men's names. Oh, here's one. I'm glad I got around to this. One of these men's name is Josebad, which means a giver of tithes and offerings. Amen. You say, preacher, is that the meaning of that man's name? Look it up. He was in charge of all the giving. My, my. I remember the old timers used to say that they used to sign pledge cards, and if you didn't fulfill your pledge in church, they'll come around and collect it. That's, you know, back in great-grandpa's time, they would collect on that pledge, wouldn't they? How many remember things along that line? You remember? Listen, the Bible teaches that we're to give our tithes and offerings and missionary gifts and projects for the church to advance the cause of Christ. All of these men's name pinpoints what we are to be and what we are to do after we get saved. Look up these men's names. And then, I like Hanan. It means the mercies of God. And then, the honor of God. His name was Pelkiah, which means one that honors God. And they were first called Christians at Antioch. Why were they called Christians? Because they were replicas of the person and the character and the conduct and the ministry of Jesus. My, they were called Christians because they reproduced and duplicated the life of Jesus in and through them. So you got 13 preachers. This preacher has preached all 13 things. We got 13 Bible teachers. All you Sunday school teachers and youth teachers, as well as the pastor, you've taught all these 13 things too. Put those 26 things together. How many will agree that you will build a strong Christian and a strong church, won't you? Would you take that message home with you? Let's all stand. He says, I like that preacher. He didn't preach long. All right. How many got the pith and point of the message tonight? Say amen. Amen. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. That we're to build a Christian life after we get saved. We just don't get saved and then just all you do just come to church. But God wants you to do the ministries of these preachers and these teachers and put it into practice and stay active in it, and God will bless you for it. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many will say, I want to be a better Christian, and you brought out some things tonight that I want to be better in. Would you lift your hand? God bless you. God bless you. Many hands going up. Blessed be the kind of Christian that God wants us to be. Dear Lord, speak to the unsaved people that don't know you. Save them and draw them and call them and convict them and convert them, Lord, by your mighty power. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness to us. So help us to take these things to heart tonight. And as we stand and sing, may people respond for salvation, or they'll come and say, I want to be the kind of Christian that these Bible teachers and these Bible preachers represented in cooperation with Ezra, the man of God. So help us to believe these things and put them into practice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.